Sheriff C.W. Mangum makes announcement. The Atlanta Journal, Tuesday, the 23rd of September, 1913, page 6, column 4. To the citizens of Fulton County, now that the wave of excitement and heat of passion incident to the Leo Frank trial has in a measure subsided, I deem it advisable to address a few words to the voters and the people of the county relative to the many baseless, unfounded, and unfair rumors which have been circulated about my treatment of the county's prisoner, Leo M. Frank. These rumors, many of which are too unreasonable to be dignified with a reply or denial, have largely originated with my personal and political enemies, solely for political purposes. But they have been given such wide and such ingenious circulation that I consider this statement necessary, not as a justification of anything which I have done, but in order that those who have listened to these rumors may understand the true facts in the case. In order that the good citizens of the county will not be misled by false statements originating with a few men who, for gain or spite, are willing to attack a man for the simple performance of his duty. It has been said that I announced that I believe Frank innocent of the charge against him. This I emphatically deny. I have never made a statement of my personal belief in the case, but have only quoted the prisoner when I was requested to do so as saying himself that he was innocent. C.W. Mangum, Sheriff Fulton County. During the trial, I was criticized because I failed to handcuff Frank when he was carried from the jail to the courthouse during his trial. My enemies say that in doing this, I violated the law. In this, they willfully misrepresent or show themselves densely ignorant. The law requires the sheriff simply to safeguard his prisoners, and this I have done. Relative to my failure to handcuff Frank, I say that it has never been the custom of myself or my deputies in our 5 years' service to the county to handcuff a prisoner unless it was absolutely necessary, and I take occasion to say that of more than 20 who have been charged with murder during my administration, only 3, George Burge, George Quarles, and Robert Clay, have worn steel cuffs, and these men were known as desperate characters. Bain, Darden, Garner, Reeves, Copeland, Vane, Matthews, McDonald, Parham, Camp, Folds, and many others charged with murder have been allowed to walk to their trials with UN manacled hands. Even Negroes, when there is only one or two to be moved at a time, are not handcuffed unless there is some reason to believe that they will attempt to escape or to do violence to the guard. In other words, whenever it is possible, without running any risk of allowing a prisoner to escape, we spare him the shame of appearing on the streets with manacled hands, be he white or black, Jew or Gentile. Of course, when a large number, often from 20 to 40, prisoners are being brought to court by 2 or 3 deputies, we find it necessary to manacle them in order to prevent their escape, but never when there is only one prisoner, unless he is not only desperate, but of such powerful build that in single combat he might overcome even an armed deputy. Frank is a man of slight stature, a physical weakling. I have also been criticized because I carried Leo Frank to and from jail in an automobile, when other prisoners have walked from the court of justice to the place of their incarceration. The reason for the use of the automobile is simple and obvious. There were many threats against the life of the prisoner, and the sheriff's office had received many anonymous communications from people who threatened to lynch Frank. Always there were crowds gathered about the courthouse to see the prisoner, and had I walked him to the jail, he could have been surrounded by people, some of whom might have attempted to do him harm, or in the surrounding crowds there might have been friends who would have sought to liberate him. Necessarily, I had to use an automobile to protect the prisoner and to guard him effectively, otherwise every one of my deputies would have had to assist in guarding him, and they were need elsewhere. This machine belongs personally to one of my deputies, and did not cost the county 1 cent. My enemies have foolishly declared that I attend the Frank trial very day because of a personal interest in the fortunes of the prisoner, and that I had never before attended constantly on a criminal trial. Not only had threats of violence against the prisoner then freely made, but there were many wild rumors that the Hillsborough affair would be repeated in the Frank case, and that the judge and other court officials were in constant danger. While I did not credit these rumors, I realized that never before had there been such intense feeling, both for and against a prisoner on trial in this county. For that reason and that reason alone, I attended constantly on the trial. Had violence been attempted, I would never have forgiven myself, and the public would never have forgiven me for allowing my deputies to stand without a leader against a mob, while I, the sheriff of this county, sat safe in my private office, unable to reach the scene of action and the scene of my duty until it was too late to be of any actual assistance to my men. I was there because it was my duty to be there and for no other reason. I have been criticized by many because they could not get seats in the courtroom, and the charge that I showed partiality in this matter has been made. I deny the charge flatly and firmly. I was sorry that every man in the county who had any desire to hear the trial could not do so, but space was very limited. That the courtroom was not large is not my fault, as I have no control over it. I was instructed by the judge, and it is my sworn duty to obey his orders to close the doors when the seats in the room had been filled, and this I did. Doubtless some parties were allowed to pass in and out of the room after the doors had been closed to the general public, but I deny the charge that they were all friends of Frank. They were attorneys, court officers, city detectives, policemen in plain clothes, and in practically all instances, their presence in the courtroom was necessary, and they had a right to demand and receive admittance. That the court was filled with men of the same race as the defendant, I also deny. At practically every session, there were 10 Gentiles to every Jew in the room. It has been said that Frank has been allowed privileges at the jail accorded no other prisoner. This is a lie as pitiful as it is base. He has been allowed the same privileges, no more or less, accorded every other prisoner, regardless of his color, race, or creed. Like the officials of the Federal Penitentiary of Atlanta, and like all sincere students of criminology, I believe that as few hardships as possible should be placed upon the man whom the law has restrained of his liberty, and that prisoners should not be made to suffer unnecessary indignities. But I also believe that every prisoner should be accorded the same treatment and discipline, and I can truthfully say that all prisoners in the Fulton County Jail, since it has been in my charge, have been made to conform to the same rules and regulations. Frank has had his meals sent to him from his home. I try to make the fare of the prisoners wholesome and substantial, but it is a rule that any prisoner whose friends or relatives desire to furnish regular meals or special delicacies can receive them, and this rule applies to Negroes as well as white men. If the friends of a prisoner, regardless of whom he is, care to furnish him with books and magazines, he may have them. If a prisoner is to be held for some length of time and has the money to purchase some bit of furniture, which cannot be used as a weapon, to make his cell more comfortable, he can have it. This is a general rule applicable to every prisoner alike. In the Fulton County Jail, there are not special rules made for one man or set of men. I try to do everything in my power, consistent with the same keeping of the men, to make their stay at the Tower at least comfortable. It has been charged that I have shown Frank partiality by allowing his friends and relatives to visit him. In his connection, I wish to say that in this, like everything else, he has been made to conform to the rules of the jail, and his friends and relatives have been allowed to visit here just as the friends and relatives of every other prisoner have been allowed to visit the Tower. If a prisoner does not desire to receive visitors, I comply with his wishes in the matter. I have been condemned by some because I refuse to allow city detectives to question Frank over his protest. I want to say, here and now, with all emphasis at my command, that I have never knowingly allowed a prisoner in the Tour to be put through the third degree by anybody, and I never will so long as I hold office. I thus throw down the gauntlet. Let him take it up who will, be he chief, captain, or private. That my position in this matter is right is shown by the fact that only recently the Court of Appeals of this state has handed down a decision condemning the third degree and declaring evidence secured by means of it is valueless in a courtroom. In connection with my administration of the jail, those who are familiar with conditions have declared the work of myself and deputies as remarkably efficient. This is largely due to the fact that all of the deputies on duty there work on lie 8 horas per day instead of 12 hours AS under former administrations. While this requires more men and curtails the amount of money which I personally derive from the office, the result has made me glad that I have adopted this policy, and I have the knowledge that more working men, laboring conscientiously 8 hours a day, are sharing in the revenue of this office now than ever before. The rumors about the sheriff which were current during the Frank trial are too numerous to mention in full. I did not try to deny them then, when passion and prejudice was at its height. But now, in order that no part of the public may ebb misled by false rumors, I make this statement and clearly and emphatically state he has not received more privileges than other prisoners, but in some cases, not as many. My record is clean and clear. I have tried to do my full duty at all times, and nothing but my duty. If the good people of Fulton County think that I am wrong in treating all prisoners decently and humanely, or in refusing to allow them to be subjected to the third degree or other indignities, I am willing to stand by their verdict and accept without rank or defeat at the coming primaries. However, I may add that I am fully confident of re-election to the high office I now hold, the duties of which I have done my utmost to discharge without fear, favor, or affection. In the past, I have been supported by an earnest and conscientious corps of deputies, and if there are any changes made in their personnel, the public may rest assured that it will be done for the public good and not for political effect. As above indicated, I am a candidate for re-election as sheriff of Fulton County, looking backward to a clean and honorable record, going forward with full confidence that the good people of Fulton County are not yet ready to rebuke and cashier a man for doing his sworn and bonded duty. With thankfulness in my heart for past support, and with a consciousness of duty done, I earnestly solicit your support and influence in the next primary. Very respectfully yours, C.W. Mangum, Sept. 20, 1913, Advidit, page 9, column 2. Superior Court Judge must keep one eye on tricky ceiling. Now, within the past 2 days, the dignity of the Superior Court has twice been ruffled by the falling of plastering in the First Division, over which Judge John T. Pendleton is presiding. The old City Hall building, where the civil courts are now sitting, is in none too good repair generally, but the officials of the courtroom on the second floor declare that the limit has been reached when they have to sit with a fearful eye on the ceiling all of the time, ready to dodge falling plastering. The ceiling of the courtroom is very high, and should the plastering strike a person, it would inflict probably a serious injury. Judge Pendleton has considered adjourning court for the week, but probably will not if plasterers who will be put on the job during the day Tuesday can make the room safe.